السلام عليكم.
No, that's my part. Okay. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
يا الله وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله.
How are we?
الحمد لله.
I haven't seen you in a month.
I haven't seen you in a long time, yes.
I know we filmed an episode right before I traveled that I haven't released yet. So I'm going to do a 2-4 and I'm going to release both on the same day or back to back, like one tomorrow and one the day after, something like that.
MashaAllah. Good.
Gonna surprise the people.
That's nice.
We're very colorful today.
Am I?
You're in like emerald green. I'm in yellow. Where?
Green is one of my comfort colors.
It's actually my favorite. Emerald green is my favorite color. I love it.
Alhamdulillah.
So, did you miss me? Could you not breathe when I was not near?
Allah yahayyiki, we are always missed. But yeah, it's been almost a month. I just saw you today, a couple of hours ago.
Yeah, no, it's been a month because I was gone for 3.5 weeks and I've been back for 3 days. So that's a full 4 weeks.
Alhamdulillah.
It was... Jordan was interesting.
Yeah?
Jordan was interesting.
Jordan.
Huh? Yeah, so I know you said you wanted to discuss depression today.
Oh, yes.
And it's interesting that that's the topic you're picking. Because I saw firsthand, especially when you haven't seen people for a long time and then you reconnect and then, you know, you're updating each other on each other's lives. And it's interesting how many people choose to be miserable. I really now am starting to believe that for the majority, misery is a choice.
Do you know that our beloved small country, Jordan, ranked at one of the top in the consumption of antidepressants?
Yes, I do know that. This was actually a topic of conversation over dinner once. And because of that, apparently they've like cracked down on the law so much harder. And there's inventory and checking because doctors have to be very specific now with how they're prescribing.
Do you know that it's fashionable nowadays to claim that you are depressed, that you are
the trend in Jordan is like the ADHD.
Yes, salam.
And the ADD and the whatever. It's like hyperactivity, mish adre.
And the autistic thing is coming to people now claiming that they are autistic. You've seen that?
Do you know how it started? It started with kind of like turning autism, like the sexuality, into a spectrum. And now it's like everyone's on the spectrum somewhere. And I'm like, you need to relax.
We are actually on a spectrum of life, if you want to be more realistic.
I know, but I'm talking now specifically to what you're to the autism.
Yeah.
Imagine being like on the spectrum. I'm like, hey, okay, wishy-washy autistic. What do you mean? What do you mean?
Yeah.
Also, it's not cool to like call for these things. Like people who genuinely have autism, it's one of the hardest things to have to deal with as a family, as an individual, as the people around you. It's
a calamity beyond description.
A vaccine caused calamity, yes, but beyond description for sure.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I have to. I know you don't like me to get political, but vaccines are a hoax. That's all. I'm not going to say anything else. I have to. Do you know what I've realized? Not a lot of people also watch Bubba the full episodes. Like when I get recognized the most in Jordan and in Dubai, obviously, because I live here in Dubai. And a lot of people be like, oh my God, are you Layla? Like, I love your podcast. I'm be like, amazing, thank you, blah, blah, blah. So then we sit and we talk for a little bit, sometimes, you know, if the opportunity presents itself. And I'll mention you, like, oh, when I'm with my dad, they're like, your dad? And I was like, he's my co-host. They're like, oh, no, I just watch you on Instagram.
Yeah, because most people don't have ADHD. Don't have time for depth.
The ones who watch the full episodes to me are like the ones I really care about because they take the time to... And then they understand us more and our journey more.
Well, I care about both because even your short messages are sometimes really deep and touching.
No, I get that, but like it's not enough.
It's not enough, no. Because it's supposed to trigger this
desire for wanting to know more. Yeah. Yes. Like otherwise it's just like the equivalent of a bumper sticker.
Well, do
you know those bumper sticker quotes?
Yeah.
You can do it.
What most people don't see and don't understand is that this bombardment of so-called false choices is a one significant reason for the epidemic of depression.
Okay, so you wanted to talk about depression. Let's go. You want to start with the overwhelming amount of choice that people have today.
They're not real choices.
I agree.
They feel they kind of have the glitter of a choice.
Yeah.
Like, really, if you can choose between 200 different forms of having a burger, is it smashed, is it flat, is it double, is it three, is this, is that, it's what bun, what filling, what the, all those are false choices. They inundate your brain with this euphoric sensation that I am unique, I can pick something which other people don't pick. But they divert you from the reality that you have very limited core choices.
Yeah. So what you're saying is they give you an overwhelming amount of...
Intentionally give you.
Yeah, intentionally. That's what I'm saying. It's done by design. That they overwhelm you with basically futile choices that don't really have any weight or don't really add any value to your life. Actually, if anything, I think they decrease the value of your life. But... they do that to distract you from the fact that when it comes to your actual autonomy, religious, career, medicinal, educational, you actually really don't have a choice.
You don't. That's why the more we eliminate your choice, the more we have to throw false choices to you to think that you have choice. But then the natural result of that, the bastard son of such
yes,
is depression and self-loathing. You know, people who are
get into it more.
People who are depressed actually don't like themselves. Actually, have no harmony with whom they are. They don't know whom they are, because most of us, if we really knew whom we are, we'll never be depressed.
True.
Now, some may argue that there are clinical depressions. Women give birth and a good percentage of them go through...
Postpartum depression.
Yes, and also we know that certain minerals and vitamins, the severe lack of them can cause severe depression. And even more than depression, even suicidal.
I think postpartum depression is one of the things or the forms of depression that we understand the least about. And when I say we, I'm not including you, but I'm saying general society understands the least about, because the general consensus I've seen is we don't talk about it enough, we don't whatever, and they want to convince you that, you're either one of those women who happens to have it after birth or you're not. But that's not true.
That's not true.
Yeah, there are reasons why you get it, and there are a lot of ways to avoid it.
Yes, 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 yes. Trees just do not grow.
Yeah. And trees don't just die.
And trees don't just die.
Kills them, yeah.
Something kills them.
And even if it's a natural cause, it's still something. Like, you know what it is. Like, you can tell, oh, this was done by this, or this was actually just a natural cause. You can differentiate.
You need a seed in a fertile land. And then a nurturing, even for a disease. A disease needs to be nurtured to grow.
A disease needs an agreeable host.
Yeah, exactly.
Because in a disagreeable environment, a disease can die, a virus can die. It doesn't survive.
Exactly.
Doesn't get what it needs to.
Exactly.
For sustenance.
Like, if you see how depression manifests itself among people, like one of the common symptoms of depression is oversensitivity. And
why?
Well, that's a very good question. Why?
I know, I'm full of them.
وَأَكْثَرُهُمْ لِلْحَقِّ كَارِهُونَ. Because I have to overcome this barrier, that this false image that you're creating for yourself, to show you that there is a broken something behind it, damage that needs to be looked upon or prepared. And most people are not willing to do so.
Yeah. There's interestingly enough, I don't want to divert from this subject, but there's a trend now, and I speak to Sarah about this all the time, of people, because it's trendy to be self-actualized or woke or recognize what's wrong with you, and because it's so accessible online through social media of like, you need to start with you, or the problem starts with you, take control of your own life, take responsibility and accountability, and then we go from there. So I hear a lot of people regurgitate that sentiment now of, I know it's me, and I know that the work has to start in my home before externally. I know I need to love myself first, and I'm working on myself. I know I have this childhood trauma and this whatever. So I'll see a lot of words about it, but then when push comes to shove, there's no action. Like, nothing has changed except for the fact that it's kind of cool to go like, oh yeah, I was the problem. My inner wound attracted this. Do you see what I mean?
I see, and it's the devil favorite trick.
Yeah,
it's always that you act like you are adopting a reality, yeah, and you go ahead with it to a certain degree, but when it comes to the point, and in the process, you kind of divert the angle a little bit, but by the time you end the journey, your so-called journey, you are actually feeding the initial disease. Because the ego can use anything, including your own sickness, to feed it.
So you're saying, wait, you're saying about the too much choice. It's actually interesting because everyone here knows I don't like feminism, even though, Dad, I have to be honest with you. I'm kind of siding with the ladies a lot more now because what I am seeing from your gender is really despicable. Like, they're just getting worse. Now, I blame women a lot of the reason for why it's happening, but the men, they're not menning. They're not doing what men were meant to do. They don't know how to lead. They don't know how to take accountability. They have no role models to look up to. It's really what I've been seeing recently where I'm like, I kind of get the girls. I understand. It's just, it's ishima bin hadam.
I never liked the blame game. Go ahead.
It's not about the blame game. But nothing happens without a reason, like cause and effect, right? So if we talk about men aren't being men anymore and women are either so loose and doing OnlyFans or haram, really trying to be good women and are so miserable and alone and they're not being able to find a good man, this didn't just happen in a vacuum. We didn't just wake up one day in 2025 and it just happened.
No, it did not.
So it's not the blame game, but we have to take a harsh look in the mirror and go like, okay, this is where men screwed up and this is where women screwed up. And like I said, I'm not a feminist and I'm not a pick me. So to me, it's like, I don't care about your gender. If you're a horrible person, I'm going to call you out. I really don't care about your gender.
But we men also, you know, I always stand for women when we talk.
I stand for the men more when we talk.
But let me tell you.
But I think that's the right thing to do for, like, do you know what I mean? For me to take accountability for the women and for you to take accountability for the men. Because as a woman, I can speak to where women are messing up. But in the same way, I'll echo the sentiment of, no, I understand the hardships that women are going through these days. But I also understand that it's self-designed and they don't even recognize it anymore.
They don't recognize that it is self-designed.
So this is what I wanted to tell you. But tell me what you're... And then I'll tell you about the thing in Jordan that made me realize what you were just saying.
Yeah, the thing is that this spasm, this crack,
yeah,
between a man and a woman... Mm. Started much, much earlier.
Of course.
And each and everyone, the two genders, by thinking that they're defending their own.
Yeah.
Like, in reality, what they are doing is sinking farther into the quagmire that's been designed for you.
I said this before. We said this before, that it's actually causing more of a divide and pushing people further apart from each other.
For God's sake, I used an expression few hours ago or a few days ago. I said to someone who's very dear to my heart, I said, I have seen a woman. I told her, I've been around men who are less masculine than this. Because women are, a lot of women are adopting a lot of masculine traits.
Yeah, very.
And then, you know, you want to cause allergy to any man.
Be manlier than him?
Be manlier than him. Be even a bit manly around him. Yeah. We have enough dealing with the heaviness of being a man.
Yeah.
And you know what?
I don't know who we is.
Men.
Because, yeah.
And I'm here talking about myself.
you, I'll understand. But these other men, I'm kind of looking at them. But Dad, I said this in a video before, where I was like, as a man, at what point is it too much, the humiliation and the embarrassment of not living up to your potential as a man? I've said it before. Life is so much harder when you're not disciplined religiously, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, with your food, with everything. You are literally scraping the bottom of the barrel as a man. So at what point is the humiliation enough? What does it take for it to click in your mind that, khalas, I can't be blaming every Tom, Dick and Harry. I need to, for lack of a better word, man up.
Yeah, we need to man up. But man up for whom?
For yourself, first and foremost.
Yeah, okay.
Out of respect for God for putting you on this earth and making you a man.
When you have that high level of direction,
yeah,
you understand it's a sacrifice worth, because you're doing it for a spiritual.
But you know what? I get what you're saying. But spirituality aside, as a man, you're lost. You're at the bottom of the food chain. Nothing's working out for you. Let's say you don't believe in God. Where is the point where you're like, I need to do this for myself? On this podcast, I prefer a spiritual aspect. But what I'm saying is, regardless of God or not, which is something I've never said before, I'm just trying to think of psychologically, because a lot of these men that I'm referring to claim to believe in God. But I've always said, saying you believe in God is very different than living like you believe in God. Because it's so easy to just go like, oh, I believe in God. But at the drop of a hat or a pin, you panic, you freak out when things aren't working out, you doubt everything, you enter into panic attacks. Is that really belief, or is that just saying you believe? But then people attack me for that.
Again, we live into so many fake choices. One of them is adopting so-called spirituality.
No, wait. Before, go back to as a man. I really want to know the answer to this. What is it that clicks in you? Because you're saying, okay, for a religious or spiritual purpose, fine. But before that, is there not a point that clicks in you where you're like, I just need to not be such a loser anymore?
You know, being a loser or not as a man, this is very significant. A man sees himself in overcoming challenges. A man sees himself in building.
Yes.
In putting things together.
Okay.
In passing a legacy.
Beautiful.
But you know what is the biggest challenge a man nowadays have? Is to pass a challenge for whom? Pass a legacy for whom? You know, do you understand how many men are enslaved for women that get nothing out of them?
The man gets nothing out of them?
Get nothing out of the relationship.
The man gets nothing.
Nothing.
See, recently I've been having the realization that also there's a lot of relationships where the woman gets nothing.
Well, okay, let's. I do agree. I do agree.
I think both exist. Because I'm talking from a lens of like, what a good woman is and what a good man is, and when they end up with the wrong person. Yeah.
And instead, yeah. And instead of we are awakening to whom we are without trying to like attack the other. No, we kind of always go into this process of blaming the other.
But you're not answering my question.
Huh.
At what point is it just when you believe in God that you're like, oh, I need to do this for God? No. There are men who've picked themselves up without believing in God. And there are men who, yes, credit everything to God. But what's the common denominator?
This is much deeper. This is much deeper than what we even can discuss. Because manhood is a manifestation of God.
See? Agreed.
You see, if you look, Allah Jalla Jalalu loves with what? With guidance. His love come with guidance. His love come with direction. I love you, but you need to do this. Or that happen. A woman love comes with what? Especially for her children. With cuddling. With
but also protectiveness. Protectiveness.
Mama bear. Yeah, mama bear. Protectiveness. Yeah. Protect you. You're right or you're wrong. A mama bear will attack for you.
Yeah.
That's why they... And 90% of the time, it's your fault.
That's fine.
You've seen... They call them mama bears because they go to school and fight with everybody because her son needs to take honor and five star in his...
Okay, fine.
Yeah, but how does a man do it? You've seen me do it with you and with your siblings. No, Baba, this is what is right.
Dad, you cannot be the metric.
I am not the metric.
You I'm are going for back. Me, which is why I'm so hard to please. But I'm saying en général, with what I've seen from these men, and I get what you're saying. I do believe that manhood is a manifestation of God, and there is no manhood without a divine intervention and God being present. I agree. But sometimes, again, Dad, see, this is where we fall out of line. Answer the question.
I will. But those questions are not answered with one sentence.
No, Dad, because a guy could be watching. To be fair, most of my audience believes in God. But I do have some people who go like, I don't believe in religion, or I don't know what I believe in, but your podcast really helped me.
If they don't believe in religion and don't believe in God, they can get some benefit from
this.
Yeah,
of course.
But the quagmire is deeper.
Yeah,
because you know your belief in God and this connection helps only no one but you. It's designed actually to enable you to close the cycle.
I'll raise you another one. I think the reason, and I've said even in Jordan, I met up with a few people who were like asking me, and this topic opened. The reason why I'm so adamant on find a relationship with God in any capacity, it's because it only benefits you and no one else. God gets nothing out of you believing in him, but you get everything because you can make God your anchor that does not move. Everyone needs a constant in their life where no matter what happens, you know, the tribes and trials and tribulations of life, the ups and the downs, the good days and the bad, you change. You are forever changing, forever evolving, going back 10 steps, moving forward 2 steps. But if you have an anchor, which is God, that no matter where life storms catapults you, there is something to come back to that doesn't move, you'll be safe. But if you don't believe in God, which means ultimately you believe in yourself and you are forever changing, there's nothing to ever come back to when you get lost, and you will inevitably get lost.
Definitely get lost. Now, you see, if you go back to the roots of this, the attack on malehood or masculinity, it's a disguised form of attack on God. Because it's known, it's very clear, if you destroy manhood, you destroy the proper, the natural conduit of heavenly connection to the humans.
I agree, because one of the main things, and this is something, for example, all the Abrahamic religions will agree to, the man is the leader of the house. You know what I mean? And a woman needs to submit. And obviously, in today's modern day and age and feminism, where there's an attack on manhood and women need to be leaders, if you tell a woman, allow your man to lead, it's almost an insult on her entire dignity and personality when it was never meant to begin with. Do you know what I mean? But that makes sense, because now the concept of a man being a leader is insulting to everyone and their mother. But like you said, manhood is a representation of God, and God leads.
If manhood lead, if the leadership of men is an insult, we know that believing in God was an insult, and it's still to many, because you are a deformed kind of intellect because you believe in this supreme.
I have to say one little thing about this. I'm sorry. Remember how when there was one of our conversations where I said Mufti Mink told me the more haters you have, the better. Let me just tell you how stupid some people in my comments are. And I'm talking PhD in stupidity, okay? These are, I'm not even joking, actually some of the comments. Netanyahu has a lot of haters, so is he doing a good job? Hitler had a lot of haters, so is he doing... And I was almost on the verge of answering, who has more haters than the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? Who has more haters than God? Do you know what I mean? But people, like, this is, sometimes people really trap themselves into a box. And again, misery is a choice.
It's a choice. It's the cut and paste.
Cut and paste. But anyway, continue, because I want to go back to the thing in Jordan, which I'm telling you about depression and the overwhelming amount of choice and that misery. I think this is something I really believe in. Misery is 100% a choice.
I remember that society when it was a simple, basic society. I used to go there in the 80s, early 80s. And
I have to preface this by saying I'm talking about like the 1% of Amman who went to American schools and traveled to the UK and England and speak.
It's an epidemic nowadays.
I know, but to be fair, most of Amman is very tribal and very like they're simple people. And they're very, all the expats who've ever visited Jordan just go like, everyone's so hospitable, the food is amazing. I'm talking about, the 1%.
The 1%, it's by choice. It's by choice.
But I'm talking about people who went to international schools and come from money and all of that. But continue, because I want to tell you the story.
You tell me the story.
Go no, ahead. I've interrupted you a million times. People will leave a comment about it.
So, you see, this spasm between manhood and God, the minute you break that, you kind of conquered the human mind in a big way.
Of course.
The next thing is an easy thing, is to feed women illusional realities. And it's in the nature of woman to be much more influenceable. That's why I look at marketing. Targets whom? Women.
Yeah, obviously.
Even men products, they target women.
Yeah.
Because you can influence me to buy if you are my wife, my daughter, you have the power on me. And it's easy, it's very, very easy to change women's minds.
Isn't it true that at the end of times, like in the Dajjal's army, it's going to be mostly women?
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi kiram, he warns us of fitnatul nisa.
Yeah, but I'm talking about Dajjal's army. Isn't it said that you will have to tie your women down not to run to his army because that's the end of times that his army is made up of mostly women? I'm just trying to fact check this because I've seen it online and I was like, I want to ask that.
I wouldn't talk about things I don't know. I would say that anything luring and shiny and reflective, it easily attracts children and women.
Makes sense.
Okay, so there is a lot of truth in this. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi al-kiram warns us at the end of the time of fitnatun nisa.
Yeah.
And there is a misunderstanding there because they think of fitnatun nisa is that because men will look at beautiful women and will get diverted. No. It's about everything become feminine.
Yeah.
Feminized to a point where the manhood is lost and diluted.
Yeah.
And there is no better ground than that because if you want to go and check what is... I want to point at someone somewhere, like go and check what the satanic religion, what is their god?
Satan?
Who is what?
The devil?
Half a woman, half a man.
Is he? I thought it was like half goat.
But this I'm not talking about our own reflection, our own belief as Muslims.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yes. By the way, that's true. Because even in Powerpuff Girls, the dude who plays I think he's called he or she, the little red devil is also like androgynous. You can't tell if it's a man or
thank
a woman.
You. Thank
and then
you.
In The Sandman on Netflix, the person who plays the devil is also, you can't tell if it's a man. It is like played by a person who's actually a woman, but they make it so the character... because again, it's acting, you can't tell if it's a man or a
this
woman.
This is by design.
It is.
Because it's the perfect ground for this whole school of destructive thinking and theology behind it is that middle ground where the features between a man and a woman are being
blurred. Yeah.
So women are fighting to become more masculine. Why do you want to become masculine? You cannot.
Okay, wait. We've gone off track. You wanted to talk about depression. How did we get here?
But isn't that a major part of depression?
I think confusion causes a lot of depression. I was my saddest when I was confused about who I was, my sense of direction, where I belonged.
And
I never doubted my sexuality or am I a man or a woman. Thank you, God. Never had that. But confused about like my purpose. Am I even worth being alive? Like, why did God put me on this earth? The more confused I got, the worse the sadness and panic and anxiety became.
Most people don't have time to go and even watch a documentary. A lot of those people who've been butchered and gone through such tremendous, horrible thing like this exchange. And so the main reason for that was deep depression, and the natural fruit of it that came after that
I
is
understand.
Actually deeper depression and the highest rate of suicide ever recorded.
I know. I will say, and not to be insensitive, because I understand that gender dysphoria is like a mental illness. You know what I mean? And I won't discredit, like, go get the help. Don't go butcher yourself, but go get the help.
I disagree. It's not a mental illness. The mental.
I'm gonna say the amount of vaccines and medication and indoctrination has made it a mental illness. I will say it's man-made. I will.
It's a man-made, yes.
Yeah, I will, 100%. But I think, you think they don't give you chemicals to screw up your brainy waves?
Of course, we see it in nature. Look at, there are a lot of reptiles that don't know if they are males or females. There are huge...
How did we get here?
Because some chemical was added into the water.
Okay, so that happened because of a chemical.
Yeah,
I get it. The frog's turning gay because of fluoride. 100%. No,
and all this plastic, whatever, added to, like...
The forever plastics, I know.
Yes.
I know. But what I'm going to say is, I was saying about the man-made gender dysphoria, fine. But not to be insensitive, even though I couldn't care less, but... saying you're depressed or saying you have it so tough in certain ways and things like having gender dysphoria or these certain things that are relatively new and relatively come from what is meant to be a first world country is such a privilege, because you don't find these problems, masalan, بالزرقة بعمان, because you don't have the privilege of thinking this way. When you're too busy thinking how to survive and how to put food on the table and how to make ends meet, you don't have the time to think about these things. It's such a privilege to be depressed. And again, I know it sounds ludicrous and it might sound insensitive, but again, I don't care about coming off as insensitive. But saying, oh, I'm depressed, or oh, I'm so sad, or oh, woe is me and little violin, you know what I mean? It is a privilege. And it sounds horrible, but I think it's one of the ways to actually kind of ease the pain of your suffering and find a way out. Because if you were too busy improving yourself and making ends meet and putting food on the table and trying to become a better person, not just for yourself, but for your family and for society around you, because it's innately selfish also to just be so depressed, it would just... it's a privilege. If I sat here all day just to tell you how sad I am because I had nothing else on my mind and I couldn't be bothered to do anything else, it is a privilege.
It is a privilege, and it is the inundation of choices.
Yeah. Now, and a lot of people will tell you some people are depressed because they can't afford their bills. Fine.
You see, that's not depression. That's you have a situation.
And you're sad.
And you're sad.
But I'm talking about saying, like, anjad, woe is me, and being in a catatonic state of deep internalized depression is a privilege.
It is a privilege. And instead of working hard to rid yourself from such devastating, crippling states of mind, no, you go and validate them. Validate them by seeking the wrong treatment. Validate them by taking the nothing validates that situation more than antidepressants.
Speaking of validating, do you know that apparently ChatGPT is like the devil's best friend? Because it's actually designed to feed into your delulu and your hallucinations.
Everything.
Because it's basically a mirror. It's like talking to yourself. And you have something that's designed to... yes, man, you for everything you say. So even if you say something like, oh, I saw this online. Oh, I've been a little lonely, so I kind of cheated on my wife or husband, but I feel bad. ChatGPT will literally be like, your wife or a partner or husband or whatever, you know, they didn't give you the attention when you were going through this time. So yes, what you did is wrong, but it's also valid and like it's understandable. That's insanity. As if people needed another cheerleader to egg on their delusions.
Oh, they do. They do, because they are all herded towards one point.
Crassy. So can I tell you the Jordan story?
Tell me.
Okay. I want to say this as nicely as possible because I don't want to call anyone out. So I went out to dinner one night with a few friends, and actually, bless their soul, one of them, a girl, is a fan of the podcast. I've known her for years. She's actually quite lovely. And I say this with all my empathy and a broken heart, because I really wish women did better. Like, you know the story I was just telling you? about how you need to cut off old habits, and that's why I'm ignoring and I'm not even responding to certain people, because I refuse to acknowledge anything that is disrespectful towards me. So I've really reached this point. You text me without the respect that I'm wanting, I don't respond. You don't exist. Halas. Don't have the time. But anyway, we went out to dinner and we were sitting and talking, and then we mentioned the podcast. And anyway, this girl was talking about how she was seeing this guy and he ended up being like this total disaster. And apparently there's an app in America called the T app where upload pictures of guys and the red flags. So like I could let's say there's a guy called Yahya, right? And he reached out, or I met him at a mutual friend's house and I was like, oh, I'm interested. He showed a little bit of it. So I'll find his picture and post it on the app and ask the girls like, hey, I just met this dude Yahya at my friend's house. Has anyone ever dated him? Can you tell me anything about him? And people will actually vote red flag or green flag and leave comments. And some people will leave comments like, oh yeah, I went out on a date with him, or I met him at this gym and he was actually horrible, or no, he was great. It's insane. So they were saying how great this app is. And off the bat, I was like, nope, don't like it. And they were like, why? I'm like, because it feeds into women's delulu and victim mentality. Exactly. Like women don't need more of a reason to play victim and act like all men are the big bad wolf. It pisses me off. But, and again, not taking away from how horrible some men can be, but I will never adhere to this mentality of all women are whores and all men are dogs. I will never adhere to this. I don't like this concept, you know, because regardless of your gender, if you're good, you're good. If you're bad, you're bad. You know what I mean? Like just point blank period. It's how I view things. Anyway, so then she was saying, oh, then this dude that was really chasing after her and that she was dating was on this app. And turns out he's like screwed over 40 girls.
That's why she likes him.
Okay. Relax, Casanova. So what happened was, we discussed it a little bit, just very, very shortly. But she basically said, and I was telling her, I'm like, you need to look for a man who does this, who really shows interest, who blah, 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 blah. And then she was like, but he was like really on it, texting me all the time, asking to see me, never ghosted me. Like he put in that initial effort. I see you wanting to talk.
No, I get emotionally. Anyway,
he puts in that initial effort. And then she was like, and basically more or less when he got what he wanted, he like ghosted. But a lot of men, they just need the okay. They just need of you going like, okay, fine, I'll go on a date with you, for them to disappear. I've seen it happen time and time again. I digress. What I said to this woman was maybe one of the most important things I've ever said in my life. Okay. Women need to stop confusing attention for a metric of interest, because I could throw a rock in any direction and hit at least 10 guys that are going to show even an average looking woman, just a decent looking woman, a lot of attention. Attention is not a metric of interest, of commitment, of respect, of choice, of I see you, I choose you, let's go. And we need to stop deflating the two. Attention is not a metric of interest. We put way too much value on a man's attention. Oh, because that's how the bar is in hell. We're playing Cake Baba Limbo in hell. Okay. Because he said good morning, or just was like, how was your day?
What most women don't see that they trap themselves with their own hands. See, this guy is an artist. He's done this so many times. He knew exactly how to come and
hit. Yeah. The whole thing. And but actually, I'll disagree because scratch the surface a little bit. Go through the chat. Ask her, how did he talk to you? What did he actually do for you? And you'll actually see that he did nothing. Nothing.
But he used the right words. That's the mastery. Those hunters, so-called perpetual hunters, are so... And when you go and see their record, they have hundreds of women that they have, whatever, they get whatever they want from them. And they dump them like that, one after the other.
I know.
And they use the same trick.
And the same tactics. I know.
And you all fall for it. And then you are the victim. You are not the victim. You see, the guy.
So I said this to her. And I said, I don't want to get too much into detail, but I was like, but you agreed to 1, 2, 3. And she was like, you know what? Yeah, you're right. And I told her, but here's the key point. I was like, don't beat yourself up too much. Learn from it. If you do it again, yeah, you're an idiot. You know what I mean? But learn from it. It's okay to go through a little fall here and there. It's okay.
The thing is, the parameters that women put for attractiveness are the trap.
Baba, we're limboing in hell. Hey, you know limbo? You know when you go under the... the bar is in hell. Like, we're playing limbo, hik tahit. You know what I mean? Like, how low can you go? with what, like, a man needs to do to get a woman to say okay to him.
You see, those hunters, they know exactly what to do. And they know exactly what to say. And they know the shortest route to take. They've done it many, many times. And believe it or not, most of us are not unique. And believe 100%. It or not, most of you women are not unique. 100%. You are a duplicate of the woman beside you. Fact. You just think that you are unique.
Fact.
So this, if it worked with one, it would work with the other. And they know this.
And they know it because it's been proven. They've tried it.
Yeah, but the thing is, what attracted you to him in the first time... Is what you need to revise.
100%.
He's a master in his hunt. That's why you were attracted. But the other guy who came and trembled and didn't know how to talk to you and he looked like an idiot. You just laughed at him and shoved him under the table.
Okay, so I'm going to stop you right there. You still clearly live in the 80s because that doesn't happen anymore.
Even it doesn't happen anymore, those men that are ignored and nobody looks at them are the ones that they still have a probability of being good men.
Okay, but approach a woman. بعد ناقص إنه أنا I need to go approach you.
Nobody is saying this.
But they don't approach. Dad, again, you live in the 80s because that doesn't happen anymore. They don't approach.
I know they do not approach, Baba, because approaching women nowadays is extremely risky.
It is extremely risky. I agree.
You know, they created Vince, those dating apps. But those dating apps are working for a small minority of men.
They're horrendous.
Yeah, they're working for the 1% of men that have what every woman wants.
Yeah.
And those guys get so...
Actually, the people that I know who met on dating apps are really average looking. And I'm talking like a little chubby, she's a little stout like a teapot, but they're so in love. And so it's actually worked for the lesser couples.
If people are into this with a genuine interest.
And they're genuine people, I will
say
that.
If a woman wants a partner, she will find. If a woman wants a crush and a fairy tale and the alpha of all alphas, come on, there are hundreds of women that want him with you also.
Yeah, okay, I'm with you. But it's also, I think the tides are shifting a little bit because I understand having wanted that kind of male that was presented as like, this is the kind of man you need to look for. I'm going to be really honest for you. I don't care. Not what I want. I'm going to be honest. Just not what I want.
Society and wombs of mothers do not produce so many of those so-called perfect alphas.
Agreed. But listen, we're going to get into relationships now. Let's go back to the depression, okay?
But that's one of the major reasons of depression.
It is one of the major reasons of depression. But again, so I was talking to mom about this the day I landed in Amman. I don't want to get too deep into it because she and I had a very private conversation that was actually quite lovely. But you know how at some point in this conversation we were saying that you see a lot of men who get married and it's like a loss for a man, like he gets nothing out of this relationship. So I was talking to mom and I was just saying, Ana Kalayla, okay? How many men, Baba, because Sarah asked her mom this actually, how many men have you met, Dad, that are like me? The male equivalent of me. Traveled, educated, even though I'm a college dropout, but I'm self-educated. Like, we're into the same things, you and me. We watch the documentaries, we read the books, curious about life. I would like to hope somewhat self-actualized. I speak more than 3 languages, so do you. I make my own money, alhamdulillah. Again, out of necessity, I never thought I would make it like this. This is all by the grace of God. I've said it a million times. But I was telling mom, I'm like, I've reached the point now where I'd rather stay. And again, I still think being married is one of the greatest honors of life, especially if you find the right partner and it's completing half of your deen. And truly, it would make me genuinely happy if I found the partner worth in front of God, me saying, that's my man and the father of my children. Because if I want to be a mother, I cannot be selfish and just marry the first little dingling that comes along. I owe it to my future children to pick the best possible father for them. Sah? Yes or no?
Yeah, but so what are the parameters of this father?
I have specific ones for me that I don't need to delve into. You know what they are. I don't need to say them.
I'm not talking to you as my daughter.
I'm saying my story, yeah. And maybe people go like, oh, that's actually what I should have been looking for instead of... Because a lot of people have delusional parameters, which is what I had 3 years ago. So again, we live and we learn. But what I'm saying is... I was telling mom, at this point in my life, a marriage is a loss for me. Because as a woman, unless it's the right marriage. I'm just saying, like, any marriage or settling even a little bit is would be a loss for me, because that, as a woman, I know myself, when I really care about someone, you know, the blinders on a horse, like, I see nothing but them. You know this, you know, I will love you. I will be committed. I will die for you. Like, I will just do everything for you, and you will be my priority. And as a wife, I would like to be a homemaker and focus on the home and the husband and the children. In an ideal world, okay? But what does that mean? That means my company, what, doesn't get most of my focus anymore. Yes or no? It might get a lot of my focus, but I'm not 100% on it the way I am now. So who is this man that's going to come that I'm going to risk everything for? It is a loss for me at this point if I settle.
But it's also a loss for a man.
Why?
Who's this woman who's come share everything that I worked for?
I would. Unfortunately, which is why I'm even stricter now, because I'm like, Leila, you know yourself. I'm too generous. It's one of, honestly, like, I love being generous more than anything in the world, but I'm generous to a fault.
What I want to say that don't allow your success to be your trap.
I don't want it to be my trap.
And a lot of women do that.
I know.
They think that men are interested in their success.
I don't think a man's interested in my success. And that's not what I was saying. Huh. I was saying, because I'm going to be focused on him, I won't most of my energy won't be committed to my company.
To your work.
So my company might take a back seat because I want to prioritize him. But he has to be one hell of a man for me to do that. I'm saying I know my strengths and weaknesses. And one of my... It could be a strength and a weakness. Is if I love someone, I want to be devoted to them, and I want them.
As a man, the things I cannot forgive and forget is the lack of soul.
But what I said, did it make sense?
Very much. And the things that I appreciated and left such a deep impact on me is the generosity of soul, poverty of soul, and generosity of soul. The poverty of soul comes when I really on my knees and I need you.
Yeah.
And then you show me how selfish and how...
And ingrate you are, yeah.
Exactly.
I know.
And the lack of empathy for what regardless whom you are, a sister, a brother, a wife, or whatever,
yeah.
Even a child. Now, the generosity of soul is like me and what I have is for you. Just let I'll do my best to see that you pass this. I'm not going to babysit you forever, but I will do my best to see you.
You are like this. Huh. You've always been like this. And I get it
and
from
you. And you are like this.
I am, and I get it from you, because it's one of the things I really admire. I've spoken on this podcast many times about your many, many faults. So I will say now, this is one of the things I very much admired about you. But you are also generous to a fault. How many times do I have to stop you and be like, enough, you're giving too much of yourself where it's to the detriment of yourself.
Yeah, this.
So it's important to know your strengths and weaknesses. And what I'm saying is, if I get married, I want to take the marriage in front of God to heart, and I want to commit, which means my husband and my home and my kids become the center of my universe. It's us against the world. And I think, again, in an ideal world, that's the most beautiful thing in the world. But it's at this point in my life, he has to be a man worthy of this, because I have a lot to lose if he's not worthy of it. Does that make sense?
Very much.
Okay.
I'll comment on a point. A few days ago, I was reprimanded by people who care about me that I sometimes I'm generous to people who don't deserve the generosity.
Agreed.
And they prove to be this. And
agreed.
And you could tell, like, you're a wise man. You cannot tell that they are lying. And I said, I cannot take your advice, because someone who is much higher than you advised me otherwise. With all the love and care, I cannot. Do you know it's overwhelming, I feel like crying. One of the deepest things that I learned as a child, and it stayed with me, and it's part of my religion and faith.
Yeah.
أن تخطئ في العطاء خير من أن تصيب في المنع.
Basically, to be at fault with giving the wrong person is better than being inflicted with the, I guess, the torment
of تصيب في المنع. أن تصيب في المنع means to be right. Not giving, to be right, holding.
فكرت تصيب as in to be inflicted, تصيب.
I know, to see here بمعنى صواب.
Yes, فهمت, yeah.
أن تخطئ في العطاء خير من أن تصيب في المنع. To be wrong, giving is better than to be right, holding.
Yeah. Listen, I think we've spoken about this so many times, but it actually makes me emotional. People who aren't generous is a fate worse than death to me. Like, that's hell on earth before you're hell in the afterlife. Because to not be generous is, number one, you cannot claim you believe in God and be tight-fisted. It will never be reconciled in my brain.
It
means that you think you're giving and it's not God giving through you. And you're putting so much value on the nafs and who you are and what you think you've achieved, as if he couldn't Thanos you and take it all away. But this lack of generosity, it's not just a monetary physical thing. It can never be just one. And you cannot be lovingly, what's the word I'm looking for? Reserved and tight-fisted and stingy, but be generous with money. And you can't be stingy with money, but then be so loving as a partner or as a father or as a mother.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work. With generosity, it really is a line in the sand and it's very black and white. There's no in between. You are either generous, and it means generous with everything and to a fault, or you are not, and you are bakhil, and you are stingy, and just selfish.
It's a proven fact, and I've seen it.
Yeah.
And men who are extremely stingy with their money, they make horrible husbands and they make horrible sexual partners.
Of course.
Because they are stingy with their energy.
And with everything. That's what I'm saying. You're stingy with everything. And then you're stingy physically with your wife or your husband. You're stingy with love and affection and kind words to your child. You're stingy with everything. It's just chas. It's a whole package of stinginess.
I do not know if this where this statement comes from. That's why I'm careful to say it. I think it is from the old wisdoms that we have in Islam. It says, لا يدخل الجنة بخيل. The heavens. No stingy will enter heaven. Yeah. No, what is tight-fisted?
And we talked about this before. Yeah. And I said, Allah isn't saying bakhil just with money. Bakhil means bakhil.
Bakhil.
It means stingy with everything. With everything. It means if you're stingy with whatever it is. Physical, spiritual, mental, emotional.
And it kind of cascades in every aspect of life.
Yeah.
You know, I saw people that would not even share information with you because you might use it and benefit from
crazy.
It.
Crazy.
So, like, going back to depression.
Yeah.
With all of these false choices that we have, you know, you were talking about the natural fruit of such confusion and delusion is...
So people are going to ask you, can you clarify what you mean by the choice? You need to give people a clear example.
Oh. Okay.
Because your burger example, I love you. Not good.
It's not good.
It's not the one.
What other... How if you want to order, okay. And
not
the
order.
Only thing that comes to my mind again is food.
No, I will give
maybe
you...
Because
you need
I'm
to
hungry.
Give real life choices. Like, for example, they tell you in high school, you can be anything when you're older. If you work hard enough in high school, you could go to any university, apply for any job, and even if you don't have the money, you can apply for a scholarship or financial aid. Like, they give you all this overwhelming choice. And in high school, I'll never forget when my principal sat in front of us and was like, I'll give you the good news and the bad news, okay? The bad news is, this is the hardest you'll ever have to work in your life. And the good news is, this is the hardest you'll ever have to work in your life. And I remember being 16, because I graduated... Anyway, I remember being 16 and I was just sitting there looking at him, 16, 17, and going like, is he a retard? Like, how did he get this job? Why is the hardest I'll ever have to work in my life high school? But it actually is, you know what I mean? But that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we worked our asses off to go through APs and GCSEs and SATs and O levels and A levels and whatever system you were in. You know what I mean? And the Montessori and the Baccalaureate, like all of that, okay? Just to end up not really going anywhere or going everywhere to be in student debt. And then here's the funniest part. You monkeys in a circus, 9 to 5, miserable, depressed, living paycheck to paycheck. That's what I'm saying. They overwhelm you with all this choice. Like, you thought, I have so many choices and I could apply to all these jobs, but you ended up just a cog in the machine.
What is so-called education as a system?
Oh, it's a joke. It's prison.
It's another one of those false choices.
It's a prison. It's,
thank you. You used the word. Now, have you ever...
But did my example make sense?
Very much.
This is a more legitimate example for them to understand. Like, they overwhelmed you with so much choice during high school and during university and even after. Like, you could apply to any job. But the truth is, no. You end up in a certain place, doing a certain thing, just being another cog in a machine, 9 to 5, paycheck to paycheck. Zayak zay khairak.
You used the magic word. It's prison? A prison. It's a prison. If you see the system of prisons, how does it work? The break time, the maze where you go sit and eat, which you call cafeteria in a school, how you line in the morning, how you enter, how you raise your hand to speak, and all of these things. It's just really preparing you mentally to accept being in a prison.
Yeah, of course. And that's why most people do.
You see, I lived in countries, and I don't want to mention names, where children from the age of 2 to 6, 7 are some of the most intelligent children God created. The minute they start being processed in school, they go into from genius to dumb.
Yeah.
And the dumbest, you know, the cum laudes, the ones that get A's, and they graduate at the top of their
faculty.
They are the dumbest.
They're autistic.
They are the dumbest.
They're actually autistic because they excel so much at like math or physics.
Some of them come for interviews, but they are already entitled and they think they should have this and should have that. But then when you talk to them, like, graduating with I graduated with very, very high grades, and I don't think these things really make any difference they can mess up with your brain.
Yeah, because I think they just give you an ego boost.
Thank you.
For nothing.
Like, just go to a hospital and see how those doctors walk.
I think most doctors have a God complex, but I'm so worried that's going to get me in trouble.
It's okay. They can act like God. Just heal a disease, for God's sake.
Literally. Again, very anti-modern day medicine.
Just heal a disease and we will worship you.
Yeah. Oh, again, I will addendum this. Heal a disease without any side effects, without any chemicals.
Heal. Don't treat.
Mm.
Because just putting somebody on continuous medication is not healing.
Facts. Anyway, we digress. We diverted. Anyway, I think also, come on, we're like done in 2-3 minutes.
Maybe you should stop here because I sit too much.
It's okay. Okay, we didn't go into the depression too much. We should
next session, because there is so much to say.
There is so much to say, but this is a good buffer, like starting point, where when we speak next time, we can really go into the nitty gritties of it.
Ask the audience also if they can.
That I love the audience, really. But God bless. But like, it's always the same questions. Even Sarah posted on her story, like, give me some. It's always the same. She's like, they just want to know about relationships, toxic friendships. It consumes people's minds. And it's the same questions regurgitated and re-asked over and over again because people don't want to learn.
And it will keep on asking the same questions if we don't break the, what you call it, Pandora, what is box?
Break open Pandora's box.
Yeah. Which, you know what it is?
Mm.
Accountability.
Yeah. I think nothing in your life changes unless you decide to do something different. And I know it sounds really simple, but it really isn't. Because breaking out of old patterns, they're patterns you don't even recognize.
Ah.
It's, for example, that old person in your life that keeps popping back up, you need to whack-a-mole and swat them like a fly. You know what I mean? You didn't used to go to the gym? Try going to the gym. You used to wake up at 10 a.m.? Wake up at 9 a.m. You need to do everything so fundamentally different for your life to metamorphose. And other than just physically, spiritually as well, revise how you speak to yourself. Revise what it is that you say to yourself when you look at yourself in the mirror. Revise how it is that you react to discomfort. What's your factory setting? Is it panic or is it gratitude? And I mean it. Fundamentally change everything about your life. And then maybe you see a change.
If you don't reach a point where you're willing to let go of any thought, of any pre
preconceived notion
that you think it's part of your cognitive existence or your history or your spiritual an entity or whatever, if you're not willing to let go of it, the minute you see that it's wrong,
yeah,
you are just feeding your own delusion and depression, and you're creating your own.
Agreed. I will also say last thing, because you were talking about like the dude when I gave the example of the girl in Jordan, you were saying, yeah, this dude probably tried this trick on a million other girls and it works. I will also say one thing, just one kind request to my lady pops and my girly pops out there. When a man says things like, okay, oh, I really wanted to surprise you with a trip to Paris, or oh, I was thinking about taking you to dinner here, but he didn't actually do anything. Stop rewarding him and treating him like he took you on a first-class flight to Paris. We need to stop that. Men talk so much because they know how much you fall for it. Stop it.
Yeah, I had a term for it. I forgot what I used to call this type of generosity. It's generosity.
It's not even generous. Just yappa yappa.
Yeah, yeah. It's the fault. Yappa. It's one of the worst. And I've been inundated by it, by certain... Oh, I have so many people that came into my life. They were, you know what? And then finally, when you said, when reality comes, they were like, oh, after all what I did for you, and what did you
what
do?
What did you do? Exactly? They didn't do anything.
I wanted to do this and this and this and that.
Yeah.
But they never did anything.
I agree. But I will also say something, and this is maybe one of my harshest takes on men. بس أنا عن جد, a man who wastes a woman's time, a man who promises a woman something and doesn't deliver, to me deserves a special place in hell. Like, it takes, you have to be fundamentally vicious and evil and demonic to be so comfortable lying to a woman. And they're not really taught the value of a woman's heart in front of God. And I'll say another thing. I don't care what she's done. I don't care how loose she is, how much she lies, how many times she's been around the block with all of your friends. Be better.
There is a karma. There is a price to pay. You and your offspring after you. If you intentionally break women's hearts.
Yeah. But they do all the time. Anyway, we're going to finish this later.
Alhamdulillah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thanks for being here, Dad.
Allah yahayyik wa yahayyikum.
Okay, love you. Yalla, assalamu alaikum.